welcome to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today I have a fabulous short called Bionic Jack, and I have the writer and director, I believe you did both, Dennis Chikaranian?
That's just about right. Yeah, it's close to that. Chikanian?
Oh, see, I told you I was going to screw it up, but welcome to the show either way. How are you? Nice to finally meet you.
It's nice to finally meet you, too. I'm happy that we were able to get this to go, so thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of work for us. People do not know the background of us trying to get this, but you're here now. Let's get on with it. When you were writing this, I do have to ask right at the beginning, why Jack Nicholson?
You know what it was? It was like one of those ideas where you're sitting with one of your friends or a family member on a couch, and you're watching a movie. Like, for me, for this film, I was watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and this was probably just before the pandemic. And I'm just sitting there with one of my brothers, and just to get halfway through the film, and you say to yourself, wow, this guy is like an incredible actor. Like, whatever happened to this guy, you know? And we were always, like, fans of Jack Nicholson. But, like, you know, when you just revisit a film after so long, especially one with a great performance, you know, it makes you really wonder what's going on with this guy. So, you know, we were fans of the guy growing up, you know, me and my friends and family. So just that one film, once we saw it again, like rekindled that idea, like, where is Jack Nicholson at? So we did a Google search, looked into that, and we found out that there was a number of sources saying he wasn't acting for a number of reasons, but it wasn't ever official, you know?
Well, I have to agree with you. I think he's just stopped acting because he's, A, got enough money.
Yeah.
And B, he's probably just wants to enjoy himself.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, yeah.
So, as you always plan this as being a one location, I mean, it is a short. I get that. So, usually shorts tend to be one location. Was that always the plan, just to have two people talking?
You know what it was? It was just like the idea came to me, similar to the way I just described, where I was sitting there with a friend, and we said to ourselves, like, what's going on with this guy? And I said to myself shortly after, like, you know, that might be a good little short film. And I wanted to start – this was probably shortly after graduate, when I graduated from grad school. So I really wanted to start writing a film, a short film, get my feet wet again with filmmaking. And this was, like I said, during the pandemic. So I wanted to, like, pick a film that I could realistically pull off because we didn't know how things were going to be, you know, with the whole virus situation. So I wrote this short, and I wanted to challenge myself because I really haven't written any films before. I wanted to try to incorporate something like a Quentin Tarantino dialogue meets, like, a young Kevin Smith film. The way he wrote, like, Clerks and Dogma, films like that. Like, those films were really inspired me to do this film, the way I wrote it. So it was the one location because it was more practical, especially during the pandemic situation.
Okay, if this is film of the pandemic, did the two people in the short know each other in real life, I'm asking? Obviously,
no.
In the short, they're friends. I get that. In the short,
yeah.
They're definitely. Now, I do have a question that's not answered. Are they supposed to be dating in the short, or are they just friends hanging out?
They're just like friends hanging out. They're like roommates. It could be roommates, friends hanging out.
There's so many options here. So many.
Yeah, there really is. And when they first met one another, they just, like, clicked, the two actors. And they never knew one another prior to the meeting. And they just clicked, man. It's just like they were like old friends that finally caught up after so long. And it was just amazing. And the chemistry between them really worked out, like, phenomenally with this film.
So when you brought up RoboCop and you also brought up other films, like $6 Million Man, I mean, I'm looking at you now and I would say you're not an older person like myself that grew up with $6 Million Man. So how did you come to RoboCop and $6 Million? And RoboCop I get because it's kind of culture, but $6 Million Man is one of those things you just either know it or you don't.
You know what it is? I have like a vast... I just watch so much stuff, to be truthful with you, growing up and stuff like that. Like, I go back to older stuff. I go to newer stuff. One of my minors in school was film studies. So I've looked at a lot of, like, black and white films, Fritz Lang films, things like that, Orson Welles. So, like, I started watching a lot of those films with school, and I just really said to myself, let me watch a lot of the older stuff, television programs, films. And I feel like a lot of that was easy to come by since I was watching those shows and films.
Okay, what are your camera angles I want to discuss? Pretty much it's just a straight camera. I presume you're only using one the whole time, focusing on the two. But at one point you do focus over to the front door, or maybe it's a side door. Why was that adjustment in the shooting process? And yes, you do it because it's in my notes. So at one point you do.
I'm trying to think of the film where it moves over to the door.
you're talking, the blonde is talking, and for some reason you shift over to her and you do more of a wider shot than you ever have. You actually see more of the room ever. Do you have any reason why you did that?
Well, the cinematographer, he was like really trying to do like a phenomenal job with the film. And he had these ideas that we talked about prior to shooting it. And it might have been something that he talked about, but I don't really remember. I don't recall exactly what it was.
Okay, did you shoot this all in one take, or was it multiple takes?
Multiple takes. Yeah, we shot it all in one day, one location, besides the exterior shot. That's a different. That was a different day. But we wanted to do is we wanted to film like a little Easter egg, the film at the house that Jack Nicholson grew up in Jersey, in Neptune, New Jersey. And I reached out to the homeowners of the house, and I believe it was owned by the state at the time, and they didn't want to like really help me out. So I was able to, at least to shoot the establishing shot, the exterior shot of the house, which is in the film, in the beginning of the film. That is the house that Jack Nicholson grew up in Neptune, New Jersey.
So whose house did you end up using?
I ended up renting a house in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. I found it online. It was one of those sites where they find locations for filmmakers to shoot at, and you have to pay like so much to use their location. And the woman, the homeowner, she was like credible the entire time. So that's where we end up shooting.
So after shooting this film, did you feel there's anybody else on Jack's level, or you just figured Jack is it?
You know, I don't, it's tough to say, you know, it's interesting. Jack Nicholson, the reason why I figured Jack Nicholson is because, I know you asked me this before. I just realized that I like to create stories that are like Jersey based films. I live in Jersey. I don't know where you're located. You're located in Canada.
I am located in Canada, yes.
Canada, all right. So I like to like create films that are like based off Jersey people with Jersey stories. I just did a short documentary about Richard Kuklinski, who's also from Jersey. So I like stories that gravitate towards people like Jersey people. And Jack Nicholson was somebody I always grew up watching, and my family and friends as well, like I said. So he was like a person that if I could write a film about him, it'd be nice to, if he saw the film and he viewed it and said to himself, man, at least, you know, like I missed out there. You know, in the world of cinema.
Oh, there's a question. Have you sent it to him?
Yeah. No, I haven't sent it to him, no. I just wondered, like, to myself, if you ever came across this film, what he would think of it, you know?
Well, I think you got to explore that. I mean, I definitely think you could get a hold of a publicist and send them to him.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't seem like he talks anymore, right? All the things I've looked at say that he doesn't even, like, he's, like, gone for a whole year and he just hides out. So I don't know. I don't know how it would get come to him, you know?
Okay, I do have a quote. Seth, self, little, Trom. What is that?
You know, I got to think back to the film, you know?
The man says it to the woman.
Yeah, I just threw things together, you know? I don't remember, though. I have to revisit the film. I know it's been a while. I kind of okay. Like, you know how it is, you're working on a film all the time, you sort of get like towards the end, you're getting like tired of it. You see it so much, especially in the editing process.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not taking that away from you. You must have watched it 100 times.
Oh my God, so much. Yeah.
Okay, an interchangeable Jack toy. Do you really think that would work?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I don't know. I just came up with some crazy ideas, and I don't know. I thought it fit pretty nicely with the film, like in a comedic way.
I thought the Jimmy Fallon impression was excellent.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just was going to ask, are you a fan of, big fan of Fallon?
Oh, I am a Jimmy Fallon fan. Yeah. I think he does an incredible job mimicking a number of people, especially Jack Nicholson. I'm sure a lot of people who are fans of Jimmy Fallon or Jack Nicholson know this information. You know, they've seen this stuff. If I came across it, I'm assuming most people have, or at least who are fans.
Listen, some of us are busy watching independent movies all the time that don't have time to watch Fallon. So we just have to ask questions.
Yeah.
When your cinematographer was shooting, you have a close-up on the male actor and you have a close-up on the female actor. And I found they were shot differently. Was that a plan?
That was planned. And it had something to do with the efficiency of moving the camera, he told me.
Now, did you tell your actors to move in a certain way? Because I find they both move very differently and almost independently of each other. Thinking they were such good friends, they'd be used to each other. But I did find they had very different movements when they were discussing things.
That would just naturally came by with the actors. That wasn't like something that was deliberately put into place.
Fair enough. See, I'm asking hard questions, right?
Yeah, well, they're a little tough. I never would think of these questions. They're pretty good, though.
Okay. I do want to say an underrated classic, Postman Always Rings Twice. Yeah. Excellent point. Nobody has ever seen that film. And it,
nobody has.
Right on that.
This film is really designed for people who are like fans of his body of work. And if you're not really a fan of his body of work or a fan of Jack Nicholson, this film is probably not for you. You know what I mean?
Well, I was shocked you didn't reference a movie called Jack with Spades. Jack is Wild, the biker movie.
Oh, yeah. What is that movie? Easy Rider.
Before Easy Rider, he did another one, a teen one, when he plays a gang leader.
Really? I don't know that one.
Oh, see, it's tough to find. It's an old, maybe it's a Roger Corman film, very early.
Oh, is that the one with the diner scene where he flips out at the diner?
That could be that one, yes.
Yeah, I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, I think it's Jack is Wild or something bizarre. It's very tough to find. I was like, I'm shocked you didn't go way back and pull that references. So, I mean, you're doing a short. So, I mean, did you try to include many Jack Nicholson films in here? Is it good? Or did you find you had to pull back?
I had to pull back. I mean, the film is long as it is. It was too long probably for the festival circuit. They want films that are a lot shorter than...
I don't think so.
No?
I really liked it. So it was a perfect running time for me.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
Now the music. How did you get to decide on your music?
Well, I didn't really want to put any music in the film. Only at the end credits there's music.
Correct.
And I don't know. I just wanted to put something like quirky, upbeat, that like sort of fit the mood of the characters. But I just really wanted to focus more on the dialogue and the craziness of it and how it escalates throughout the film.
Now, do you think your characters have had this conversation about other people? Because I feel they do. I feel this is a general conversation. They get in over everything.
Exactly. And I think that's like the simplicity of this film is that anybody can relate to these characters, not necessarily talking about like Jack Nicholson, but other people that they see on TV that they're fans of.
Now, could you see these two characters arguing over Twinkies or Joe Louis?
I mean, I could, definitely. They seem like two roommates that are like close, but at the same time, a little dysfunctional.
Absolutely. Now, you earlier expressed you're a big fan of Jersey films.
Yeah.
Now, so is that why you're a huge Kevin Smith fan?
The truth of the matter is I just like, I like the idea of, coming from like an area. This area that's tough to grow up in, a bit, and especially in the filmmaking business, and being able to walk away with something, which a lot of filmmakers in Jersey have done. And it's not even just filmmakers. It's also like stories about Jersey people. You know, I just think there's so much information, so much history in Jersey that there's so much you could tap into.
Now, this was your first film, you're telling me, right?
This is my first short film after grad school, yeah.
Okay. Now, how was it approaching a first film on your first set? I mean, obviously you have classroom training. I get that.
Yeah.
But this, you're on your own. There's no fallback for you.
No, I mean, it was tough because this was a very independent film. The budget was really small. A lot of the money was coming from my own pocket. And I was lucky to get a lot of people who went to grad school with me to sat in with the classes with me as well. And I pitched the idea to them, like, would you be willing to want to work on this? And a lot of them were like, yeah, definitely. They were very excited about it. So I was fortunate enough to get a lot of them on board, and I knew where they stood with their knowledge of filmmaking, so I felt comfortable pursuing this. But I know the day before we shot the film, the lighter, the guy that was going to do the lighting for the film, he backed out for something else. Something happened, and he couldn't make the shoot. And I had, like, everything riding on one day. So, like, that was tough the day of because everybody had to, like, multitask like crazy, doing things with lights, moving lights around, and they weren't necessarily familiar with lighting to the role that I was expecting.
Okay, well, that's it. I got nothing else for you. It was a short film. I think I covered everything for you quickly.
Yeah.
Is this still just on the circuit, or people can find it on YouTube or anything?
I'm still waiting to hear back from a few more festivals, and once that's done, I plan on uploading it to my website.
Okay, let's get your website out now.
Yeah, so it's horsingaroundproductions.com. So it's going to be on air shortly. It won't be too much longer, a few more months probably.
Okay, now it's time for fun questions.
All right. Sounds good.
Only three of them. Don't worry, it's quick. Your favorite film?
Oh, man, I like the old stuff. Like, I'm going to have to tell you, like, Fritz Lang M. I like that.
That's a perfect Ted.
I can watch that film 100 times, you know?
Absolutely phenomenal film.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than Jack Nicholson, what are your favorite actors?
I like Robert De Niro. I like Joe Pesci. You know, like, I think I would say the Goodfellas would be, like, my second choice of type of choice.
Fair enough. Nothing wrong.
You know, those guys are real good. Yeah.
You think I'm funny? I love that line. Your favorite film from last year?
Last year. I want to say Top Gun Maverick, but I feel like that's like everybody says that. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not my favorite film, so I would not say Top Gun Maverick, but you're more than welcome to have Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. I'm sure it's something else, but I just can't think of it right now. You know, I'm on the spot. Well,
thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. Take care. Have a good night.